I want to share a few things this morning. I won't be long, but I want to just share quickly my heart. I didn't have an abundance of time to really get into details and nitty-gritty on things just because of my schedule this week, but that's fine. I always like to share little things too because God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And sometimes there can be little nuggets and you can dig in and dive for yourself. Amen. Before I start that, in regards to the Bible reading plan, I was thinking of something recently. We're just reading Nehemiah. If you're on the reading plan, I think we just finished it. I have to finish Nehemiah, then get to Malachi to finish. But I found it in my church office. It's just a quick little sermonette before I share. There's a book from 1994. And I thought of you, Marjorie, when I saw it. It was when they were building the back portion of the church back in 94. And when I look at things, I like to look at history, and I like to look at future and what's going on now. Because sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the immediacy of what's going on, like right now. And I was thinking of this church. You know, I was thinking of this area. And there's been Spirit-filled churches come and go throughout this area. Pawcatuck and Westerly. There's very, very few here. Put Mystic in that. Put Stonington in it. This one's preserved for 40 to 50 years. And I think about that. And that's a real testament to the plan and purpose that the Lord has for this house. I believe that. And I look at the people, Fred Watrous, who pastored here to start with. He went to be with the Lord this past year, but he spent all his time building this property. I met with his son. He said he wanted to do it where we didn't owe a lot of money. All the work and the labor that took, both physically and the spirit. And I look at the different pastors who've been here in different years and different things they've done. And all of it's building upon a work. All of it's building, and it's building, and it's building. And it's building so this church can have a influence and impact in this community that goes beyond where we're at right now. Amen?
Amen.
We're meant to continue to grow and to build an influence and impact and destiny. And that's for anything in life. I'm never supposed to slide down. Hebrews talks about drifting away. And that word in the original, drifting, it's like when you're like the gutters. Kevin did the gutters and the water just drifts. And if you let it go, it's going to start damaging things. And so my heart was this. When I was reading Nehemiah, I was thinking about this. And then Andrea mentioned it too. Some chapters that I skim through is when it just lists off the different workers and the different helpers. And it's just a name after name. Like, Lord, why is this in here? And I believe that there is a value to recording things. The Holy Spirit's recorded names. I think if you study the names out, they would mean profound things. I do. I just don't take the time to do that right now. But think the Holy Spirit recorded for all of history these men and women and these tribes who were repairing the walls and Nehemiah was talking about. And I don't believe those, I think it's Nehemiah 7. It's not there by accident. And so I was thinking about us here as a people in this area. I don't think we have any idea what we do as a church, every healing room, warm center, just worshiping here on a Sunday, in your jobs, in your family. I don't think we have any idea because sometimes we get these grandiose visions of this has to be this, 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 and this. Mm-hmm. And I think it's often in the smallness that heaven celebrates and says, you're making a step towards something of eternal value. I think that way. And I sometimes we can think, you know, I'm just working my job at home, or you're doing what you're doing. I've got this, I've got that. And I think in the spirit, if you're really following after God, if you're in His heart, if you're in His purpose, plan, and will, and destiny, whatever little bit you do, I think the Lord records that in the heavens. I really believe that with all my heart. And I just want to encourage you in that, to how you fit into that. There is great value in your life. There is great value for what you're doing. There's great value for this church. It wouldn't be here in Pawcatuck 50, 40 years later, if there wasn't great value in it. That's the truth, and I promise you that. And so, even you, us being a part of all this together, and everything we do, don't take it lightly. Amen? And say, how am I contributing to that? And they write my name down in the scrolls of heaven, however you want to talk about it, when I write my name down, you know, James was faithful in this. If James hadn't done this, this couldn't have happened. And that couldn't have happened. And that couldn't have happened. You know? If Mary hadn't stepped up and done that, this couldn't have happened. And that couldn't have happened. I believe that. And I want to stir us and encourage us in that way as we go into 2020, as we go into our jobs and our family, to people who I had to work this week at my in-laws' house. And even sometimes it's all of us can have, some of you don't, some of you do, even your jobs can feel monotonous at times. But what am I doing? How am I growing? How am I a part of the kingdom of God? What am I doing to see it grow, even if it's the smallest little thing? Amen? And so just as a people individually, as a corporate church, I just encourage you to stir your hearts and think of how valuable you actually are. And all the angels and host of heaven look, and this is a great cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on in Hebrews. Like, you just close your eyes and think about that. And we can get so, I'll speak to myself here, I can get so wrapped up in natural things going on that I forget what's taking place in the Spirit all around me. And I'm being cheered on to grow and see, you know, the Lord has a great purpose for Pawcatuck. He has a great purpose for Westerly. He has a great purpose for Stonington, for Ledger, wherever you live, anywhere around here. He has a great purpose for Connecticut, for Rhode Island. Amen. And I think the greatest days of these two states are not in its past, because it's had some good ones in the past, but I believe it's in its future. And it's important to realize that you're a part of that. Amen. You're a part of that. You look at the great moves of God, the great revivals, the great reformations. I was talking to someone recently. I didn't know until I moved here. Jonathan Edwards was buried here in Connecticut. And the great, I think he was Sinners in the Hands of Angry God. I think that was in Connecticut, or was that Massachusetts? I don't know. I didn't realize all the history spiritually in this area. Really, I grew up in the Bible Belt, buckled the Bible Belt. And we had it all, you know, and you don't think of, but there's such great history here. And so, the beginning of this nation, right? And so, I say the greatest days are not in its past, it's in its future. Amen. And all of us are called to be a part of that. Amen. And whatever part they write down of you in a long chapter that someone, and I'm not saying you write the Bible again, but it's just a good picture. Why the Holy Spirit chooses those names to be written for all of eternity to see the written Word of God. It's not just there for the heck of it. God doesn't do things in a random fashion. And we often, I had something one time that happened years ago, and it was an experience I had with the Lord, and I shared it with someone. She said, "Why did that happen?" And I said, "I don't know. Maybe just for the heck of it. I don't know." She said, "You need help." And I said, "It's true, you know. Nothing just happens because it just happens in the kingdom of God, the son and daughter of God. There's great value and purpose to everything." And so some of you need to hear this to take heart. Some of you need this to keep going. And some of you need this just to be encouraged that you're on the right track and the right path. Amen? Yeah. And I don't look at the things around me. Those are temporal. I look at the things in the Spirit that are eternal. So just, you have a part to play here in this house. You have a part to play in your families and your communities and everything that we do. So, amen. So next time you read Nehemiah 7, when you do that Bible reading plan, you'll read it with new gusto and vigor. And you go read through Numbers and all the stuff that I skimmed through. You can take your time with it. Amen. So I did that a little bit longer than I wanted to. Let me just share a couple quick thoughts with you. I think we've already gotten several thoughts, but in John chapter 7, I have several different, I'm going to turn to John 7, Genesis chapter 2, Ezekiel 47, and Revelation chapter 22. And I should have had Bill put those on the board for you because I don't want to take time, but you can just write them down. In John 7, 37 through 39, John 7, 37 through 39, I'm going to go ahead and read it. It says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes in me, as the scripture says, out of him shall flow rivers of living water. And this," the verse or 39 is the best, "this he spoke of his Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And I had a... he's an old Bible school teacher of mine. And he gave me, I told him, I said, I was like a kid in a candy store. He sent me, it was a real gift he gave me, a whole box full of these old out-of-date books, Christian books. And I was just in heaven going through them. So I have a whole bookshelf. And there's one I have that's in my thing. And some of the, someone made a comment one time. They said, you know, it's good to read stuff from people today, but it's also good to read stuff from, and they called it, I don't mean this is disrespect, but grayheads. Basically people who've gone on to be with the Lord. Because we often miss those who have gone on before us, who carried great value in their preaching and their teaching. And this particular guy who sent me these books, he spends time preserving men and women of God who are with the Lord now, some of their writings, which I like that. I like reading guys who are alive today, and I like reading guys who have gone on years before and really plowed a field for all of us. And he gave me a book, and it was I just read the first chapter, and it triggered me. It's about the river of God. And the river of God really goes all the way from Genesis to Revelation, if you look in the scriptures. And there's different applications. I'm not going to go into all of it. There's just no way in the time I have. I want to honor your time this morning. But I do have a couple of just quick thoughts. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow, he who is thirst, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Which means there should be some rivers that are flowing up out of me. Amen. But if you look at a river, when we were in the middle of nowhere at our parents' house the last few days, there's actually a rivers will start, and some of you this is obvious, it will start from a higher elevation, something will melt, and it comes down, and it comes in these different streams, and it merges into this big river. And so it's always getting something flowing into it, and it's always moving, and it's always flowing, it's not stagnant, right? And there's a river, I was thinking of this, it's in behind their house. He's a pastor, there's a church there in a parsonage, and across the road there's like a fellowship hall. Behind that, there's all sorts of wildlife. I ran one day because I saw this something jumping out of the tree. But sometimes it's peaceful and nice, and there's a river back there, and it actually goes, New York's a fun state, it's a beautiful state, but the river from there, it actually goes to water supply in New York City. Everything flows there in New York City. But I was just outside, and I was walking in the back, and I could just hear the river from across the road. I could hear the waters rushing across the road. And I was just thinking about that, you know. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Amen. And there's a couple different verses, a couple different passages in Ezekiel 47, because first and foremost, the river should be flowing in us as the Holy Spirit. And this is a special chapter, and it says this. There's a lot to it. But in Ezekiel chapter 47, and this is a cool book, verse 1, it says, then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the front of the temple faced the east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, south of the altar. He brought me out by way of the north gate and led me around the outside to the outer gateway that faces the east. And there was water running out of the right side. Then when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters, and the waters came up to my ankles. The Holy, if the river, and it, I read Genesis 2 for yourself, if it speaks of the Spirit of God in our life, as a Spirit-filled people, as a people of the Spirit, there is some type of river in me, however that's flowing. And it starts off in his ankles. My kids like to splash in the water in their ankles, right? A childlike faith. Amen?
Yes.
All of us, there's a core progression in our walk with God or walk with flowing in the river, however you want to use that terminology, where there should be a joy that we all have in our lives. Is there joy in your life in the Spirit? Is there joy in the Spirit? My kids like to splash in ankle-deep water. They have a little pool in our backyard in the summertime. Can I enjoy my Father like that and splash in the waters of His Spirit in that way? Some of us, I wasn't planning on saying this, but some of us as we grow older, some of us as we walk with God, and I've had to go through this as well for any length of time, sometimes it can seem a bit stale. Maybe not for you, but there's times I've had to really press through that. There's times where it feels a bit, you know, that's all I've got is this.
Yeah.
And it's in times like that, the Lord wants to see how you react. Either I can bellyache about it, or I can say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to come to you in childlike faith, and I'm going to splash and have joy in the ankle-deep water. Amen? Do I have that running through me? If you don't, it's so, you know, I had a friend tell me one time, it's not uncommon, it's like high blood pressure. It's not uncommon, but it's not healthy. And so if you have that going on, it's like high blood pressure in the spirit. It's not uncommon, but it also it's a sign that there's something that's not healthy about you in the spirit. All of us have been there. That's not a criticism.
Amen.
It's not a sharpness. It's just reality of the situation. Do I have that joy, whether I'm up to my I'm swimming, as we'll see in a little bit, or am I just playing in the ankle-deep water? How do I respond in the moments when I feel like the Lord's doing nothing? I really, again, that goes back to the Lord seeing us from an eternal perspective. Everything's not just the immediacy of now. Oftentimes we find ourselves in places for reasons. If there's nothing random about God, how are you going to respond right now? He does that to me all the time. How are you going to respond to this? And it takes a great deal to see how he does this to how he takes us in the future. Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on. And where was I? And this verse 4 says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters that came up to my knees. The knees, again, I talked about the knees. Brings me to my knees in prayer. It's just a way to look at it. Does the Spirit of God drive me to pray? How is my prayer life? How is my Bible reading life? This is simple stuff. But is the Spirit of God stirring me in those areas? Amen? Is it driving me there? And then it says this. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. It came up to my waist or my loins. Often my reproductive organs are going to be around here. What's the Spirit of God producing in me? What's being birthed from my life? That nothing else. There's certain things that I believe is the bride of Christ as a son of God. When I mix with the Lord as a bride, there's something that's produced that can only be produced through you and Him merging together. Amen?
Amen.
And if I ignore that, if I don't let the Spirit of God produce something in me, good fruit within me, which we're going to see again here, the waters produce trees of righteousness around there. Is there something that's being produced within my life? If there's not, Lord, in 2020, I want there to be fruit and production that presses through in my life. What's working within my loins? Is the water up to here? Is it producing something that only I can, that only uniquely God's given me to produce? Amen?
Amen.
And he goes on. Again, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And this is an area where the Lord just works with me and he deals with me. A river that can't be crossed, it's overflowing. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Amen. A place where I'm completely immersed and I'm completely, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And I find myself oftentimes, the Lord's working with me, where I can find myself nailed down to just earthly things without a heavenly perspective.
Amen.
Without the river, without the Holy Spirit's perspective in it. And he always wants to take me. He keeps growing there. You can pray for me with this. He says, I want you to see and walk here, but I want you to do it from heaven's perspective, from the Spirit's perspective. Is the Spirit of God overflowing me in such a way where it's just constant and I'm overflowing and I have to swim in it? Amen? I need help with that. Amen? We're all growing in that. And it's a good place to be. And that's just a progression of our life with God, but it's a way that all of us should walk in these different types of waters. Whether it's just at my ankle, whether it's overflowing. It should be a part of all of our life. Because all of us are going to have the times we're walking in the ankle deep. We're going to have times where we're just overflowing. You know, some of that week of prayer meeting at my Bible school, I was just completely engulfed there. You know, we have times where, Lord, what are you producing in me? How am I praying? And so the point of all of that, and it says this in verse 9 or verse 8, it says, then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region. It goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the rivers go, will live. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Wherever the rivers go, those things will live. Am I producing life? I was talking to Andrew recently. Some people, when you're around them, they just drain you, and it's almost the icky feeling. And then there's some people you're around, when I'm around them, I feel built up. Yeah. I think of one person in particular, every time I'm around this person, I leave and I feel like I have $1 million. You know, what is being produced from my life? Healing, you should lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Is the river producing for healing room? Is it producing in my own life? Is it producing healing physically, emotionally, spiritually? Do I have something flowing from me that gives life to everyone around me? It's a good question to ask. Amen. It's a good way to evaluate ourselves. And it says this in verse 22. And it says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, all will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. And their fruit will be food, and their leaves will be medicine. In Revelations 22, just stay with me, verse 1 through 2, you see the river again. And it says, He showed me the river of living water, shining like crystal, coming out from the throne of God and from the Lamb. In the midst of the city street, and on either side of the river, was a tree of life, which produced 12 kinds of fruit, rendering its fruit according to each month. Something cool about that, 12, it says 12 kinds of fruit, rendering its fruit for each month, and Ezekiel talks about that as well. So I see it this way. 12 months in a year, we have fruit that never comes out. This is a bad month for me. You know, it gets dark early. You know, I'm in the Molly Groves, I'm this. I want to be a person where high, low, from January 1 to December 31, there's fruit from my life. Amen. The river is flowing from my life. Just as it talked about here in Revelation and in Ezekiel. From start to finish. 12 kinds of fruit. All the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit. It's just a good evaluation as well. You know, is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience. Are those things working in my life? Is it growing in my life? Is it bringing healing to other people in my life? Amen. It goes on, it says, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And you can, if you want to look at it this way, the tree where Christ was crucified, by His stripes we are healed. Amen? Amen. And so whatever I pull from Him, from the tree, from the cross, from Christ, the waters that flow through me produces healing to everyone I go. Is that me? Is that this church? Is that what I'm walking in? Are there rivers that are flowing through me that are constantly coming up out to bless other people? Amen? Amen. And I'm going to close with this last thought, because there's a lot of fun little stuff in this, but to me it speaks of God's intention for His people. And I have here, and this was T. Austin Sparks has this, and he says, the outflow is the secret to inflow. And there's a spiritual principle, I believe, that's fixed, is that when we give, we receive. Mm-hmm. And we often just use that with money, and that is important. But it's in all sorts of areas of my life, not just money.
Right.
As I give, I also receive.
Amen.
You remember the parable of the mina in Luke 16, and the master, they said they were expecting the kingdom to come immediately. Mm-hmm. And that's always good for us too, because sometimes, again, how do we react in delay? How do we react when nothing's going on, or when this is happening and that's happening? My walk with God's boring, however this is, what am I doing? And he gave them a pound or a mina to three different servants. Two of them were faithful. They went out and invested. They took a risk. They said, do business until I come. One of them didn't. Two of them received more. One of them didn't. It's a general principle in Scripture. The more I give, the more I receive.
Amen. Amen.
What I have that I store away, someone else can take it and run with it. It's just a gem. I have a couple other verses here in a minute that speaks to that principle. So my question for us, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So if there's rivers of water through me, what is it uniquely that God's put in you that no one else has? And is that river running through you? That's a question I ask myself. And I would ask you, and I would ask myself that. Am I giving what God's put within? Is there a river flowing through me? Is there going to be a river coming in me?
Right.
But if it's not flowing, it's not going to keep coming. The waters don't keep coming off the mountaintop. I'm going to end up being the Dead Sea. There's going to be nothing there.
That's right. Yeah.
Given it shall be given to you. Mm-hmm. Given it shall be given to you. Mm-hmm. There's a verse in Proverbs, and it says this. I always use Proverbs 11:25. It says, the generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. what waters are in me. If I water you, I will be watered myself. Amen. And I will continue to grow and continue to flourish and increase. Amen? Amen. So what is it within us, even as a church, I'd say as a church, yes, financially, but spiritually, my giftings, what piece of revelation do you have that no one else has? What unique experience do you have that no one else has? What gifting do you have that no one else has? You know, sometimes we can withhold revelation from others because we want to be propped up and seeing something. I want to know something they don't know. Or I can withhold my affection or time from people. You know, people take energy and time as well. But it's an investment. Am I investing in this person? Maybe there's someone in this church the Lord wants you to invest in. You know? We're a body, right?
Amen.
So I have a shared investment in everyone's life. But there's someone here. I need to pour whatever I have into this person. Amen. I need to love this person. I need to pour into them. Maybe it is a financial thing. I need to give to this person. I need to bless this person. It's a gifting thing. It's a time. It's whatever it might be. What rivers are flowing through me is going to affect what's coming in me. Amen.
Amen.
If you look at... Well, I'm not going to look at him, actually. I'm going to wrap up with this. It says now in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, it says, now this I say, he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Context is money there, but it goes beyond just finances as well. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord says this too. If you're not faithful in those things that are material, you're not going to be entrusted with true riches.
Amen.
In Luke, he says that. Amen? And so I will say this to us as well. Money, that's not my intention to go here. But what I do with this is a spiritual thing. Because if I don't honor this, and if I don't treat this according to the principles of the Word of God, I can't ask for all these amazing things from the Lord. He says, you're not taking care of the temporal, the material. How am I going to trust you with seeing this thing in the Spirit? How am I going to trust you with this Word? How am I going to trust you with that? If I'm not faithful with my family, for example, one of the criteria for ministry is if you can't rule your own household, how will you rule the Church of God? If I can't take care of that, how can I be entrusted with great spiritual things? Amen. What in the temporal, material things are very spiritual things. So let's don't segment material, and this is spiritual, and that can fall apart, and this can be on a high. Because it doesn't really work that way. It's really greatly connected, okay? So I take great care, even in my job. I'm not always perfect, but am I doing it diligently? am I working with honor from home when I don't have a boss there watching me? Because I can, if I don't do that, how can the Lord entrust me to come up and share something from His Spirit to anyone? Why would He do that? You know, why would I give my kid a BMW when he's been in 20 accidents and he just turned 17? No, you have to learn maturity. I'll give you a piece of junk first and see how you handle it. And then you can drive the good stuff. Amen? But it goes on in verse 10. And it says, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, supply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. So it says this, whatever seed I've sown, he's going to give me an increase for it. Amen? And so just my simple heart for us as a church, and I end up saying several things I wasn't planning on saying, but that's the Lord. When that happens, whoever it's for, as a people going into this coming year, my outflow will affect my inflow, and that doesn't mean that I'm laboring and I'm working and I'm sweating. There is rest in the Spirit, and I do these things from a place of rest. But you know, even going in and praying is outflow, right?
Amen.
I'm actually set. Prayer is sacrifice because I'm sacrificing something I could be doing to pray. Amen? I came in here yesterday and Wilbur saw me. When he saw me, I didn't really want to be in here yesterday. It was a sacrifice. I had a long day, a long couple of days, tired, driving. It's a sacrifice. It doesn't have to be these amazing things.
Amen.
But the Lord will pour into me as I make little steps for Him. Salvation is a free gift.
Mm-hmm.
Come to Him and it's free. There's not a thing I have to do with it. But sometimes maturity is expensive. And the rivers that will flow through me, whether it's the time I spent, maybe it's time investing in Billy here. The Lord put something on your heart. and there's something in you. That's a sacrifice. As you continue to pour into Him and let that thing flow, He'll continue to pour into you. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord says, you know what? He's given something, so I'm going to keep pouring more into Him. I'm going to keep pouring more. I'm going to keep pouring more. I can trust Him with more. I can do this with more. So, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. How does that affect me individually? How does that affect us corporately? Yeah, it can be your finances. It can also be your time. What has the Lord given you that no one else has? Amen.
Amen.
Your outflow affects your inflow. That's all I have. So, Father, I thank You for this people. Lord, I thank You.